Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello, guys, and welcome to a bit different episode today. It's the Twitter versus Facebook showdown of the Q&A. So thank you for everyone for getting involved. And we've got six questions off Twitter and six questions off Facebook. But before we get involved in that, I think Brad wants to give us the results of the poll of the last question that we asked on our last podcast.
Yeah, hi guys. As you said, the poll was to do with, other than a striker, what is our next priority? It was either a number 10, which was yours, a winger mine, or other, which you could comment below. And by 76%, the winger won. So,
oh, really?
It's officially 2-1.
Surprise you that.
But there will be another question at the end of the show, which I'll be putting on Twitter again. But like I say, that will be my question to Gary after all the Facebook, Twitter questions. So going straight in, my question, first one comes from Holtender for Life. Do you think when Wesley's back, do you think Smith will play him alongside Watkins up front and maybe change the formation?
Yes and no. Yes, he will play alongside Watkins. No, he won't change formation. As a Villa manager, I don't think he's used to up top very much. The only time I can think of, actually I can't, there's probably a few, and when we got desperate at the end of last season when Davis got used a lot, or I think it was the Championship season, but it never worked. Steve Bruce couldn't get 4-4-2 to work. If Steve Bruce can't get 4-4-2 to work, bloody nobody can. So no, I don't think we'll have two up top ever. That sounds really, really bad, ever, but no, I can't see that happening. I think Watkins will play with Wesley when Wesley's fit, but I think Watkins, unfortunately, will be sacrificed and pushed to the side. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but yeah, that's what I think. And some could prove me wrong that Smith's played 4-4-2 loads, but as remembering him or the formations he's played for Villa, I can rarely remember 4-4-2.
I agree with you. I personally think he'll rotate the two to start, but if we're losing come the second half, when he normally throws Davis on, I think he'll throw Wesley on, in my opinion. And I think Watkins will be pushed wide. So I don't think he'll change formation, but I do think Wesley will get starts, but I don't think it'll be alongside Watkins, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, it's going to take a while for, obviously, Wesley to actually start a game, like you said, but Wesley is one of these where he's just 10 times better than Davis. So if you bring Wesley off the bench, you don't think to yourself, oh, bloody hell, he's just bringing Davis on. You're going to think, okay, Wesley's coming on. A game changer. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I can't wait for him to come back.
Me neither.
All right, the next question. I haven't got fancy names like you lot on Twitter. We have Gary Jones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Gary Jones. He's put, in light of the fact that Jack has been missing for a number of games and as a consequence, results and performances haven't been great, are we a one-man team and do we need to find a new Jack Grealish?
Oh,
thank you, Gary.
I think... yes, we're a one-man team at the moment. I think Traore, Watkins, Barkley were brought in to try and spread the love from Jack, but it hasn't worked, especially with Barkley. So we are a one-man team at the moment, but I think it's because he makes everything tick, in my opinion. So that's what I think it is more so than, because especially if you look at like Target and things like that, they play so much better when Jack's in the team than with eight. So, yes, I believe we are a one-man team.
the second bit of his question was, do we think we need to find a new Jack Grealish? So, another star man. I'm thinking.
To be fair, I think every club would be looking for 11 Jack Grealishes. So,
yeah.
I think it answers itself, really. But yes, we do need to. But like I say, I think Barkley was probably brought out of everyone I mentioned, the one to set the pressure off. And in the beginning, it worked, but now it's not. So, yes, but like I say, I think it answers itself. Every club wants 11 Jack Grealishes.
Yeah, I'm going to start with his latter question than the first one regarding. It'd be good if we had 3 or 4 Jacks in a team, i.e. star, world-class players. But
yeah,
like you said, Barkley was brought in to be that person. Barkley was brought... Like, when Jack got injured, Barkley was the person to come in and do the job. And he just hasn't done it. So that means we're carrying Barkley as well as trying to cope without Jack. And it severely hurt us. So I don't think Dean Smith is to blame for this, because he got Barkley in to not replace Jack, but to have him as well as Jack and to fill in for Jack, and it just hasn't paid off. So I don't think it's Dean Smith's fault. It's just it hasn't worked out, unfortunately. And yeah, unfortunately, Jack's been injured for a good few weeks now, and it's just not helped us.
It
is what it is. I'm not going to moan about injuries. A lot of teams have injuries. So, and for the start of his question, are we a one-man team? Unfortunately, yes. I hate saying that because I don't think we are. But at the moment, we're doing nothing other than supporting that fact, if you know what I mean. No one's standing up and saying, I can do this, and they do it. No one's done that. There's been no... You're telling me the last 6 weeks that Jack's been out, who's been the standout person, like, in attack? Absolutely nobody. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one has. Yeah. No one's thought, well, Jack's out, I'm going to step up. No one's done that. So, yeah, unfortunately, we are a one-man team at the moment. But in general, I don't think we are. But we're just not helping ourselves. So, yeah, unfortunately, at the moment, yes. In the long run, no, because every player is replaceable and we all work as and we all work as a team. But unfortunately, Jack's the one that makes us tick at the moment. So, yes. So the answer to, so the short answer is yes, at the moment. just stand it there. Yeah.
But as you say, just before I move on, like you said, is everyone has injuries and no club can really afford to lose their best player. Liverpool lost Van Dijk. They're not a one-man team. They lost Van Dijk, who makes things tick.
Yeah,
they're suffering. True. If Man City lost De Bruyne, Barcelona, Messi, yeah. PSG, Mbappe. So look, it's just because he's our version of those players.
Yeah.
So he makes things tick. But going on to the next question, it's from Sarah. Who do you think from the under-23s deserve a run out in a competitive first-team match before the season closes?
Thank you, Sarah. It's a bit of a plain name for a Twitter name, but it's fine. Sarah. Okay, so it's going to be the obvious ones. Let's be honest. Barry or the right back, the young boy, Kessler. It's going to be one of them. Yeah. So even Jake, even had a really good game the other night and smashed a few in. They're the ones that stick out for me. They're the ones that keep getting mentioned, keep getting all these rave reviews. So in my opinion, it would be Kessler or... how can I already forget his name? Kessler Barry. Or Barry. They have to be the two. Or is it Bogard? Is it Bogard?
Oh, yeah, Bogard, yes.
The young lad that got signed a new deal. Yes. I've not seen him play, but when you've got the Bayerns and Borussia Dortmunds and all these other teams chasing him, he's got to have something about himself. So they were the three that I would have. Barry, because I think, you know, he could be the next big thing. Kessler, he's the under-23 captain and playing very well. And this Bogard, because he's just apparently really highly rated and I've not seen him play yet.
Yeah, like you said, the obvious one's Barry. You know, he's... But I think what it comes down to more so is where we're weak in our first team. So, like you said, Kessler is the right back. We're kind of weak there, outside of Cash, in my opinion. I wouldn't mind seeing him come in rather than Elmo. Barry, because, well, outside of Watkins, we've got nobody. And the other one I liked is that Boydance. I can't think of it. Philippine Boydance, I think it is the wing. Obviously, our wingers are terrible outside of Jack, so that's my three that I'd have. I'd love to see come in before the end of the season.
Hopefully, we do get to see them. So it's good to see these young lads in the team. Well, we had the other youngster on the bench the other game. He's got a really long name, but I don't know how to say. Is it Chadawuga? No, Chadawanga.
Yeah.
Is it also like that? He's got a brother as well. I don't know how to say his name. I'm probably saying it severely wrong. I'm sure it's Chadawanga or something like that. But he's got a brother. But as a midfielder, he's supposed to be really good. So, but again,
we all love one of our own.
Yeah, but again, I don't watch. I'm not going to say I'm an expert on the 23 games because I'm really, really not. I'll follow it on Twitter, but that's as far as I go. So the next one is so Damon Gordon. Damon Gordon. He's put, who would you target in the next transfer window to improve our squad? Or would you wait for all the long-time injuries to clear and look at the academy to fill in like we used to do in the 2000s? I think he's on about when we had like the Bannons and the All Brightons. That season where we looked at a lot of our youngsters more.
End of that part of the question. Everyone loves one of their own coming through, but for every Jack Grealish, there's a Johnny Ogg. For every... Do you know what I mean? There's always... We always give them too much time when if they we signed them, we wouldn't give them that much time. Keenan Davis is a prime example of that. If they're good enough, they're old enough, as they used to say. So I'm happy for any youngster to come in if they're good enough. The first part of that question, who would I be targeting? Obviously, we need another striker. And as we mentioned, a number 10 or a winger. I've always liked Tammy, as pretty much every Villa fan does. And it seems like he's out of favour at the moment at Chelsea. So, you know, I'll probably keep tabs on that. The other one that, you know, is Edouard as well from Celtic. You know, with Celtic not doing that well. I wouldn't mind looking at him if we come to it. So at the moment, just because I think strikers are a priority, that's where I'm kind of looking. But there is a number of positions that we need to improve on, especially on the bench. But for me, priority, the striker. So my first thoughts are someone like a Tammy or a Edouard.
I think you can look at that question two ways. Like, would you just not look and get kids, or would you buy and forget kids? I'm thinking we should do half and half.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I look at the kids now for next season, who would I use as a squad player for next season? Kessler, to me, could be a backup right back. Why are we buying other people's kids when we could just use him? He's obviously shown his worth. He's in the English setup. He's an under-23 captain. Why not give him the chance? Do you know what I mean? So... yes, I would maybe not buy a right back and have him as a backup right back. But you've got to think Gilbert's coming back. So Kessler could be a third choice right back and battle Gilbert for that position. You never know. Attacking wise, though, apart from Barry, I would look elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? Apart from Louis Barry as maybe a backup striker, I would be looking elsewhere to get another one in. The other kids, I don't know enough for me to really say. He's good enough. So you just have to trust Smith. But I do expect two or three youngsters this season, like a few have this season. So I'll go half and half. I'll definitely look at our youth team, but I wouldn't get all, he's a Villa youngster. So I think he's good enough. He's good enough when he shows me he's good enough. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think he's the best just because he plays for our youngsters.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'll go half and half. I would definitely pay some big money for some big players. Like, we need to go all out by a very expensive winger and a very expensive forward, in my opinion, because then that expensive winger can go onto the wing and Jack can come back in the middle, in my opinion, because that's where I think he should play. And another forward, because we don't know how Wesley's going to cope with the match demands and Watkins needs backup. So I'll pay big, like you said, for Tammy or even Edouard as another target man. And then wingers. At the moment, none of our youth wingers are the next big thing, if you know what I mean. So it would be, I'm talking 30 plus million pounds for a winger, in my opinion. But I'll definitely look in our youth thing. And I'll definitely explore that, but only for certain positions. So a backup right back, that's fine. Even potentially a backup left back. But again, I don't know too much in under-23s to sort of know that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's a good, it's a really good question. And I think it should be half and half. We definitely need to improve. So I would spend big, but there are some positions where our kids could do a good job. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Dean Smith balances it out, I think it could be a really good summer.
Yeah. As you say, you can't really rely on one or the other. We have relied on, especially O'Neill, where we relied completely on buying in. And then we in Lambert, we kind of relied more on people coming through, your herds, your hogs, you know, all Brighton and things like that. So it does, you've got to kind of find a steady medium between the two. So, yeah. My next question is from Villa Till I Die. How should the manager get the best out of Ollie Watkins? So I'm assuming he's speaking right now.
This is a short and quick answer. And the best way to get the best out of Watkins is feed him. And at the moment, with Jack playing, our wingers aren't doing enough to get these crucial balls into Watkins. So Watkins is playing off scraps now, hence why his goals have dried up. When Jack's back, so we've got obviously a very good winger there and a playmaker, stuff will start happening again because Jack brings more people into the game. He brings your Barclays into games, your targets in the games, and they're the players that set things up. So, in my opinion, the best way to get the best out of Watkins is to set things up for him. And at the moment, we're not creating nothing, so he can't score. So, at the moment, we're getting the best of Watkins of what we can have with what we've got because no one's supplying him. So, to me, the easy answer is supply him assists and he'll bang them in. But we're just not feeding him enough.
That is spot on. To be fair, I'd go the same. It's not. I can't blame Watkins for what he's doing. He's the only centre forward we've got. He's playing forward. We've got winger. We've got, you know, three behind him, and it's still not working. And it's when you look at it, he's feeding off scraps. At the end of the day is maybe we need a change of formation, which we know Smith doesn't do. Might be the answer, you know, and get more people going forward. And maybe play like a 3-5-2, something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you. It's not really down to Watkins. It's down to the people around him. So yeah, I agree with you.
The next question is from Rick Edwards.
Okay.
All right, Rick. He said, Smith has been found out as he sticks to the same formation and the same tactics. As Jack gets doubled up on... does Jack need to play in the roaming role in the middle instead? And then he's put, like when he got put back in the middle against West Ham and he set Watkins' goal up.
So basically he's asking if he could put, Jack should be a free roaming player rather than stuck out on the left.
Yeah.
I think there's arguments for both because he's been playing on the left all season and he's had an England call up through it. He's been touted from Man United, Man City. Every club in the world apparently want him. So he can't be doing that bad on the left-hand side. But giving Jack the extra freedom, will that make him even a better player? Possibly, but we don't know. At the end of the day, if he goes down the middle, then someone's going to go on the left. And in my opinion, Trezeguet and El Ghazi are neither good enough. So at the moment, I'd just keep him on the left just because I think Sanson through the Sanson in that number 10 role is better than having El Ghazi or Trezeguet in Jack's far position.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very good question. In a perfect world, Jack plays in the middle, in my opinion. Championship season when we won the playoffs, won 10 straight games. Jack played in the middle with Hourihane and
McGinn.
Yeah, and again, they were the best, you know, middle three that we've had for a very long time. And Jack was a major part of that. And he gets pushed to the left now. And that's fine because we had Barkley to come in and do the job. But Barkley's not doing it. But like you said, if we take Jack off the wing, who's going to go there? That's why I said earlier, getting a world-class winger, a 30, 40 million pound winger, that then enables Jack to come in the middle and suddenly our midfield is incredibly more creative.
Yeah.
So in the short term, we'll say no, because we haven't got the players to do that. But in the long term, I would 100% love to see him back in the middle because I think that's where he plays his best football. And like what Rick said, he's getting doubled up on. That just, I mean, even Jack said he got doubled up on the past few games and he hated it. He couldn't get into it. So people know the sort of tactics. And what Rick said here as well, Smith doesn't change his formation or his tactics, and people have seen what we've done at the start of the season and they've sort of gone on to it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that goes on to like what we've said in previous podcasts about not having a plan B or not using players differently. So, yeah, it's a very good question. And hopefully when we get a winger worth replacing Jack with and Jack comes in the middle, then we can do that. And I think we'll be a lot more creative because you've got to think, in my opinion, we won't buy Barkley now. So that leaves to me, we've got a space for number 10. And to me, that's Jack.
Yeah.
Spend that 45 mil that you were on Barkley on a world-class winger and it's game on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. This question, to be fair, is Villa till I die again, and I saw it and it's a bit different to what we've been answering and I really liked it, so I thought I'd throw it in. Name one player who was linked with us and you wish they played for us in their career. And he put, I'll start, Raphael van der Vaart. So somebody who was linked to, you wish we signed, who would you have?
Linked to is quite a... According to Twitter, every player's linked to Villa. So, Christ, it could be anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, recently, we've not been linked to the greatest of players because we've been in the Championship. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, we've not had the greatest of links. But previously, I remember when Doug Ellis was chairman, and he nearly got us Patrick Kluivert.
Yes. I remember that.
I remember when I read Doug's book and he had a gentleman's agreement on Kluivert to come to us.
Yes.
It never happened. So I don't know what happened. I think we went to Barcelona instead. And we got Martin Larsson instead. Again, that's part, and I can deal with that. He was a great defender. But yeah, I think at that time, Kluivert was in his prime, pretty much. So if he came to us, I mean, you saw how he killed it at Barca. He would have done that for us.
Yeah, he would have done.
And I think he would have kicked us on to the next level. But unfortunately, like many transfers, didn't happen. And it is what it is. I think Arsenal's got the worst case of what ifs.
Yeah.
I remember seeing something on Twitter and Facebook and you got your Messi's, you got your Ronaldo's. And it's just ridiculous the amount of people they could have brought. But yeah, I think Kluivert, just because I was quite young then and I was proper into Villa and we're doing decent, to be fair. That might have been Gregory time. That might have been John Gregory time. So football was semi-good and we're doing okay back in then. I think it was the late 90s, maybe early 2000. So yeah, I think he would have changed the complete horizon of where we would have got to. He would have elevated us a bit more. But Matt, it is what it is though, ain't it, like? But
yeah.
No, definitely Kluivert.
I said at the time, and I still stick with it, Juninho. Just, I don't I don't need to say why, because, God, yeah.
Mr. Free Kick himself.
Mate, I'd have loved him. So, yeah.
I forgot about him. He was quality, because he went to Middlesbrough twice.
Yeah, he did. He did. But like you said about Patrick Kluivert, because I remember I remember that about the Larsson thing. And then next thing you know, a few years down the line, he went to my brother's team in Newcastle. And he was over the moon. And then luckily, he was just dog.
He was poor at Newcastle. You sort of, yeah. But we would have had the Kluivert that went to Barca. So we would have been happy with that. But it is what it is, isn't it? Like, it's
sad, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fine. All right. The next one is Callum Mace.
Oof.
Callum.
Old Callum.
He's put, it's a two-part question.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm not sure about this two-part, but he two-parted it. Most underrated player this season. Callum.
Most underrated player. See, because
I'm going to go first. I just think Target.
See, that's the thing. Like, I was thinking like Target Cash, but then people have kind of changed their opinion on them from last season. Like, if that makes sense. Like, pretty much this season, they've either been, everyone rates them, or they're just not rated for the reasons being that they've just been awful. But if I'm going to compare it to last season, then yeah, Target has to be. He's just been a revelation compared to last. And there's still, I wouldn't say there's many doubters out there, but yeah, like you say, Konsa as well. But then the same thing again is people are raving more about him than Mings this year. So it's a difficult one to answer just because people are either rating them highly or they're not rating them at all. And in that not at all is she Trezeguet, or Ghazi, she Davis.
Well, it was, to be fair, I think underrated as well. But like, you've got to think of Martinez, everyone underrated him. He's one of the best keepers in the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not underrated because everyone knows he's a great keeper now. It's the same with Konsa, like, we may be questioning him at the start of the season, but now we know how good he is. And it's just like, underrated is quite a awkward one. But I think a lot of people still don't rate Target as much as they should.
Yeah, I think if you looked at our starting 11 and went, what, and you gave a survey, need somebody to replace a player that is kind of, not your wingers, obviously, because no one rates them at the moment, then I think people will be going to the left-back position rather than the right-back in Cash. Do you know what I mean? I think people still prefer Cash over Target. So, I think Target,
All right, his second bit of the question is, the surprise player of the season so far?
Martinez.
Yeah, my thing was between Martinez or Watkins, because I didn't think Watkins would adapt as quick as he has.
Martinez or Konsa for me, just because Martinez was a backup at Arsenal. Given 6 months, he looked good. But then when we paid 20 million, it was like 20 million for a backup Arsenal keeper. Turned out to be a revelation. Konsa, everybody, when we signed a player from Brentford, everyone wanted, including myself, wanted Benrahma or Maupay or both. And we got Konsa and everyone wrote him off. So between the two, but I think Martinez has had a better season than Konsa just because he's...
Most of the team are... surprise package, because no one's expected to do this big. No one expected Cash to be as good as he did. No one expected Target to change his season how he did. No one expected Konsa to be one of the best centre backs in the league. No one expected Martinez to have the second most clean sheets. No one expected Toure, in my opinion, to come back and adapt to how he has to the Premier League. So it's just like, I think as a team, we're a surprise team. Because no one's expected us to do what we have.
Yeah.
The reason why there's too many people to choose from.
No, there is. And the reason why I went Martinez is because I'm a big Tom Heaton fan as well. So I thought, do you know what? When Tom Heaton's back, he could easily be our number one again. Because I think he's brilliant. Like you say, Cash was a big shot because me and you spoke about it. We wanted Trippier. We wanted Max Aarons instead of. And then we got Cash. Was like, oh, you know, that's a bit of a letdown. You know, and it hasn't been. So I'm going to stick with Martinez just because our number two is probably one of the best number twos in the league. And that's because he's being kept out by an even better number one.
I'm going to stick with Watkins because I really think no one thought he would be in the England team after playing for Brentford last season.
Next question is from Froggit with a little picture of a frog.
Thank you.
He's put, how would you restructure the formation if we acquired Tammy Abraham?
Okay. To me, that's quite easy. But it sounds easy. It's easy said than done, isn't it? Unfortunately, Watkins would have to either play with him up top with two strikers, but I don't think he'll do that, or he would have to be pushed to the wing. There's no other position. Watkins isn't a 10, isn't a number 10 player. So, in my opinion, he has to play next to him or off him. So... yeah, who play as two up top or one, or you'd have Watkins, Tammy and say Toure or Jack up top. So you'd have a middle three of Watkins, Tammy and Jack. That's not too bad if you say it out loud, is it? But that's how I would adapt it in. But unfortunately, Watkins would be sort of pushed to the side purely because Tammy is only a number nine in my opinion. Tammy's not one to play off anybody. And he's not an inverted winger, so he would have to play as either a lone striker or one of the front two.
I agree. I personally think we would have to change formation. Watkins out wide for Brentford was overshadowed by Maupay and Benrahma. So I personally wouldn't want to push Watkins out wide purely because he cost us, 28, 32 million there with his England call-up. He's not a winger. Like I say, if we're going to interchange like Liverpool do, where the front three chop and change, you know, like you can have Mane, you know, even though he's on the formation sheet at the beginning, he's on the left, but then as the game gets on, they switch in the middle. That's fine. I'm happy with that. But as you say, Tammy's an 8-8 striker. So for us to sign him, he has to play through the middle. He can't come off from the wide. It just wouldn't work. So for me, I'd probably change the formation and try and go two up top, and try and incorporate Jack behind that, maybe, you know, like in a diamond midfield, something like that. I'm not quite sure. But if Tammy's available, we have to get him, and then we'll worry about the formation later. But I would like to see them both playing up top, because I think it's a bit harsh having Watkins pushed out wide.
No, 100%. I'm not saying Watkins deserves that. It's just, unfortunately, something has to give. And
yeah, they do.
But I like the idea, like you said, of the Liverpool, when you have, say, you could have Watkins, Tammy and Jack. That's not a bad front three to interchange, is it? So, or even if Jack comes back into the middle, you're going to have Toure, Watkins and Tammy to interchange again. I'm fine with that. Okay, my next question is off Sean Jones. Ooh. And he's put, this is quite a different question, actually. As we celebrate 25 years since the Coca-Cola Cup final win against Leeds in 96, what player, so you can only choose one player, what player would you pick from that squad, that team, to be put in our squad now? And luckily for you, I have this starting 11 now. I can read them off to you, because I wouldn't be able to remember this. So I'm going to quickly go through the names. So we remember it's what would fit and what we need now. Okay. Not in general. What would improve our team now and help us push on for the rest of the season? Okay, so in goal, you've got Bozzy. At right back, you've got Gary Charles. Then you've got centre-back, Sir Southgate, McGrath. Then you've got left-back, Alan Wright. Then you've got Egyog there as well. Then you've got Townsend, Ian Taylor, Mark Draper, Savo Missalot, and Dwight York. That's the starting 11. I can say that again if you want me to.
No, it's clear as day. It's Dwight York.
Yeah.
I know you got God at the back, but I think we're quite solid at the back. But Dwight York and Ollie Watkins, mate, he can push Andy Cole out of that equation and play with Dwight York all day long as the better front two. So, mate, Dwight York and Watkins would fire us into Europe. No questions.
Yeah, I was going through this list and I was thinking Bozzy, because in my opinion, Bozzy is my favourite keeper for a long, long time. So
agreed.
I would have said him, but Martinez is smashing it. Then you've got, bloody hell, then you've got Southgate, McGrath and Egyog. That's just ridiculous.
The old waistcoat.
Again, we don't need any of them because our defence is really good at the moment. You've got Gary Charles at right back and Alan Wright at left back. We don't need them because we're fine. Andy Townsend, Draper and Ian Taylor in the middle. I would have said Taylor, but again, we don't need a centre mid, really. And Taylor's not a number 10, so we wouldn't bring anything to what we've already got. Then you've got Savo and York. Savo, as much as we love him, it's like one goal every five games or six games or whatever.
The El Ghazi, mate. El Ghazi.
So, York, one of the best strikers I've ever seen. Him and Benteke are like the best two strikers I've seen for Villa for a long, long time. So, York straight in, like you said, York would smash it. Like, you can't walk into the United team like he did. Do you know what I mean? And he just smashed it. So 100%, I'm so glad that you said York as well, because I thought, there's going to be loads of backlash if I say York.
But I'm
glad that you said him, because I had to emphasise that it was to help us now, not in general. Because in general, you would have your McGrath straight away, but there's no need, because we're on about now. And if we transferred York now in his prime, it would smash it with us. Cycling shorts on, his gloves on, he'd absolutely smash it.
Yeah, he was a different level. Sadly, he left, but yeah, let's not go into it.
Let's just move on quick.
Next one is from Mark B69. Would we be better playing a 3-5-2? Add House to the back three, wing backs already in place, Jack behind front to a volley, plus another. So 3-5-2 would be better playing that, basically.
I personally don't like that formation. Modern football. I know we just spoke about the 96 team and we're playing 3-5-2 there, and there's me saying it's no good. I think you need the players for it and the system for it. And I think none of our players are suited to it, really. I don't think Dean Smith knows it enough to trust it. If Dean Smith gets all the players on board with it, then yes, because I like House. I think I rate House possibly more than a lot of people do. I think he came in the start of the season and actually filled in quite well, actually. The only thing that I don't like about it is that you lose your wingers because you got your wing-backs. But we have got the players for the wing-backs. We have got your Target and your Cash that will run up and down. So, we have got the players for it. But I just don't know if Dean Smith trusts it enough to get everyone to play it, because it is a big change. People's roles change. Everyone has to be on the same page. Is it a risk to try it at the end of the season? Probably. It's the sort of thing that you try out in pre-season against your in the token Warsaw friendly that we always have. I would maybe test out in the friendly, but I just don't think at this stage of the season we can risk it. As bad as it sounds, I mean, I know professional players are paid to play and stuff, but it's just a massive change. Everyone's role changes. Like every player on the pitch, they're sort of what they have to do changes. Even if you're a centre back, it changes, because we used to two at the back and Cons and Mings are quite solid. Suddenly you're adding someone else extra to it and you're asking the two centre backs on either side of the middleman to do more, and they need to know 100% what to do. And if they do, fine, we can try it and it is what it is, but I just think it's the wrong time of the season to try it.
I agree. 3-5-2, I like the idea that we'd be more solid at the back, but we have been pretty solid all season. So, you know, we haven't, Cons and Mings don't really need that extra help. However, at the same time, I like the idea of having wing-backs who can fly, you know, down the wings, like Target and Cash, because in my opinion, they offer more on the wings than El Ghazi and Trezeguet do. Mm-hmm. So I see the argument for that. However, 3-5-2 means someone has to play up top with Ollie, and the option is either Keenan Davis, which we all know my opinion on that, or El Ghazi, which I wouldn't say it's just as bad, but he doesn't offer anything, in my opinion. So you might get a token goal here and there, but yeah, I think the problem is the attacking sense of that 3-5-2 where we'd struggle. So no, I don't think it's the answer, but maybe we could do it as a plan B for next year when Wesley's back.
Yeah.
And we need that extra up front, then we can maybe look at it.
Yeah, when we've got the players to actually utilise it, then yeah, because like what you said, two up top, who are you going to play up top with, El Ghazi or Toro? It's just not right, is it? It's... You could get your Barry in there or your Davis and stuff, but if you're going to want to do it when all the players are right for it. So like what you said, get Wesley in it, boom. To me, that's two class forwards doing it. If they can't score with that sort of fire. So, yeah, it is a shame that we can't
try
it. It is what it is, isn't it? You can't do with if you haven't got the right tools, isn't it? So...
Yeah, exactly. And we've not done exactly too bad being in we're still 10th, are we? We're still in the top 10 with the formation we're playing, so we're not doing that too
exactly.
bad.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's just a bad spell.
My last question is from Daniel Jeremy. Oh, Danny boy. Would you rather, I love these would you rathers, have a foot as a, no, only joking. Would you rather see England win the World Cup or Villa to win the Champions League?
Villa win the Champions League.
I would have said that, but because we've already won it, and I'm like, okay, it's good, and we've got the staff for it. I'm thinking, how awesome would it have been to see England win a World Cup? Though it's such a hard thingy, though, isn't it? Like, it's such a hard question. I want to, like, 100% say what you said. Yeah, Villa, done. But I'm like... No, I want to see England win as well. Because you've got to think, we could win the World Cup and Jack could be the star player. Do you know what I mean? So,
I see what you mean.
It's a massive thing. And if I see either of those things happen in my lifetime, I'll be happy. But it's just too tough, isn't it? Like, I want to see Villa win everything and I want to see England win the World Cup. But
No, it's a club over country for me. So I'm quite swayed. To me... if Jack goes to the World Cup and he smashes it and he plays for Villa and we're not doing, we're finishing 10th or 11th, he's gone in the summer. Do you know what I mean? So for as much, and then that's from trying to, that's from me. If we win the Champions League, if Jack's still that good at that point, you got him, and then you're going to be looking at top world-class players wanting to come to Villa Park. And for me, that sets us up for decades and decades winning that Champions League. So England winning the World Cup, yeah, it'd be great. I'd love to see it. But for me, Villa winning the Champions League and building a solid foundation into that elite clubs, then, yeah, Villa to win the Champions League all day for them.
It would be Villa for me, but it's a lot closer than what it is for you. Because if we have another World Cup run, I'm talking at the pub again, getting covered in beer, like going nuts. Do you know what I mean? But then if Villa win, it's just pretty much the same thing, but with a different audience. So, yeah, it would be Villa, but it'd be a lot closer than what... Than what you'd saying. That's purely my thingy. That I would want Villa just be more 60-40 Villa than England, because I like watching both. Well, I say like watching both. I like watching England in tournaments. I don't like them watching stupid, pointless games. Hence San Marino and Belarus and crap like that.
Yeah, I get you.
But I could watch Villa in any time. So, yeah, Villa, fine. England, so close.
Right, so I've got two questions left. But like I say, it's all the same. It's the same, really. So it comes from Ryan with two heart images and Aaron L. Both the same, similar question. So which position needs strengthening? And what do you think our plans will be for the next transfer window?
All right, good question. I'll go into it, but I won't go into too much detail because until the season's finished and who we've got and who goes and stuff. But and it's always good to make a podcast episode out of transfers. So what was the first bit, though? Where do we need to strengthen? What was the second part again?
What do you think our plans will be for the next transfer window? So I'm getting the same, similar to the position in strengthening.
We'll be looking at getting a number 10. We'll be looking at getting a winger. And depending on what we do with Gilbert, we'll be looking at a right back. We 100% need a new left back. To be fair, in order, it should be, so I suppose you've got a forward, a winger, a number 10 and a left back. To me, there are problem areas. If Tiger goes injured, we won't have a left back to go in there.
Yeah.
Right back isn't so much. We've got the young lad coming through and we've got Gilbert. Number 10, I don't think we'll buy Barkley, so we'll need a new number 10. Even though Samson's there, we're still going to need a number 10. We need another striker, regardless if Wesley comes back or not. We can't rely on a player that's been out for nearly two seasons. And a winger, because our depth in... Well, not our depth, because our depth's fine because we've got enough players for it. We just haven't got the
quality.
Yeah. We've got quantity on the wing, just not quality. So if I had to improve, the first place to improve, in my opinion, would be to get a new improved winger, then a forward, then number 10. I suppose the number 10 and left back are probably the same positions, but because the left back's only a backup, I don't know if that's a priority.
Yeah,
I don't know what Smith thinks of that, but yeah, it'll definitely be striker, winger, and number 10 as a priority. But then going out, we do need a new left back and maybe a fourth choice centre back if Engels goes. So there is bits and bobs to do. But in my opinion, the major surgery is attacking, because as we've seen this season, keeping the ball out of the net isn't the problem. It's putting it in the net.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Those are the positions we need. I agree with that. I think every Villa fan will agree with that. And like you say, once we've got those, then we can start looking for, you know, a better a box-to-box midfielder who can, you know, we can come on and things like that. But for the time being, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly the positions we need to improve on. The last question is the poll question, which will be going out on Twitter as always. And you'll be revealed next week, the results when we do our next podcast. It is, the question this time is, does Hourihane get into our match day squad right now?
I'm going to say no.
Oof, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a no. It's all right killing it in the Championship. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit different when you're in the Premier League. Yes, he started really, really well. But we all knew his free kicks, his corners, everything were decent. He's got a very good goal and assist ratio to what he has done at Swansea. But you're telling me that you'd rather have Hourihane in your team over Samson, McGinn, Louise, an in-form Barkley, keyword, in-form. Would I like him on the bench? Yeah, I would like him on the bench as a player to come on the last 20 minutes, whip some free kicks and corners into the target, man. But it's just, I'm not going sideways here. I need to go forwards. And for Hourihane to come back, in my opinion, and this sounds really harsh, and I will absolutely get battered for this, I bet. I just think bringing Hourihane back is pointless. It's just going sideways. Yes, he's a good player. Yes, he'll give you 6 out of 10. But we clearly saw, like we did this season, he hasn't. We got given a chance and he didn't take it. And he had a lot of chances, hence why he's gone out on loan.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I am in the no camp. And the only thing he brings back now, in my opinion, is depth on the bench. But then you've got Ramsey and you've got Samson or Barkley or. Do you know what I mean? So it's just, where does he fit in? So.
Yeah.
As bad as it sounds, and as much hate as I'm going to get, I'm going to say no, unfortunately. Unless he's coming back to be a squad player, because the reason he left was because he didn't want to be a squad player. He wanted to be a first teamer. And I've got nothing against that. Players want to play. That's absolutely fine. So he went out to get games, and he's doing it. It's fine. But he's not going to come back as a squad player. He will not go into my starting 11. So, no, I will not take him back.
I'll go yes then. Look, I say we're going to try and answer differently on this. But I was on the fence while I was thinking the questions up. Reason being is set pieces for me is something that needs drastic work on in our team. The amount of, what, Jackson most foul player, nothing, any free kicks have we scored off it outside of Hourihane in the last 2-3 years? I'm struggling. Corners, you know, Traore, what, his terrible free kick against Spurs, his corner against Spurs. That side of the game can get you 3 points all day long, and we have no one who can do it other than Hourihane. And so for me, yeah, I don't think he starts, but would I mind seeing him come off the bench, 1-0 down, 60 minutes gone, we've got a free kick coming up and Hourihane walks on? Yeah, I'm all over that. I'm happy with that all day, rather than relying on Traore or Algarve, that's just going to hit the wall, go to Rosie. Like I say, for me, yeah, I understand why he didn't get given his chance. Yes, the Championship is a different level. But when you look at the amount of goals, assists he's gave us over the years, I don't think he's that bad. And with Barkley being out of form, especially right now, he can't be no worse, in my opinion. Yeah, he kind of runs in jelly when he runs at the minute because he's just so slow for the league. But I think maybe put him a bit deeper, you know, next to Louise, and maybe give McGinn the freedom to move forward might have worked. But like I say, all if buts and fairy dust. But yeah, I just thought Hourihane kind of, it divides the masses in a way, because people love him and then there's people who kind of hate him in a way, like I don't see what he brings. So yeah, that's the question this week. Does Hourihane get into our match day squad?
I mean, I've not said that I hate him. It's just,
yeah. I see what you mean.
Would he get in my starting lineup? No, he wouldn't. Do I miss his free kicks and stuff? Yes, that's what we need to work on next season. This winger or number 10 that we buy, in my opinion, needs to be a specialist set piece taker.
We basically need Juninho.
Yeah. Well, I was reading something on Twitter the other day, actually. I was going to save this for another podcast, but we might as well say it now. Brentford have got a set piece coach. And it's like very American football-esque. Like he devises all the set piece. Like he sets up corners, your free kicks. Everything goes through him. And it's his job alone to make sure set pieces work.
Yeah. And that's right.
And that's defending and it's attacking. And I think I mean, it's easy for me saying that, and we may have one, but I don't know of it. Why don't we have a set piece coach who will sort of sit down with all the players and say, when we have a free kick, this and this and this is going to happen. When we have a corner, I want everyone here. If you're centre mid, I want you here. If you're, I don't know, say whoever the two centre backs are, I want you here, here. I want the tallest man on the keeper. Do you know what I mean? It's like someone needs to be in charge of it. And I think if you, and I didn't think about this, but like what you said, the amount of time Jack gets fouled, I mean, don't take any chances, and a free kick comes and you give it to Barkley or Jack or Target or Toro, and none of them are really out and out set piece takers. So
yeah,
next season it'd be really, really good if we do have a set piece taker, be it the new striker we get, the new winger we get, or the new number 10. It'll probably be the new number 10 or winger, because they're normally obviously the set piece specialist. But
yeah, no, you're right. And to be fair, like you said about that set piece coach, the one that Smith hired when he was at Brentford, he went to Arsenal, I believe, last year. And now, I think during COVID lockdown last year, he got released because he went to Arsenal. Then he went back to his home country, I think it was, or Italy or something like that. And then he got released. And now he's a free agent in the last 4 or 5 months. So it's quite funny you've brought it up. Hopefully, he comes back and reunites with Smith. Like I say, he does like bringing back his old coaches, like he has done at Villa. You know, it, and so hopefully, like with Cutler and that, so hopefully he brings him back, because we do need something to coach them boys out to take free kicks.
Christ. Oh, 100%. I think apart from taking them, the reactions of when there is a free kick, what to do, when there's a corner, where to stand, what to do, get the biggest guy in front of the keeper, make it difficult for the keeper to come and catch it. It's basic stuff.
Yeah.
And I just don't think, when we have a corner, I don't think, oh, yes. I think, oh, great.
Yeah, exactly. I'll walk out of the room.
Nothing happens. Yeah, it's just like, this is no advantage. I'd rather them have a goal kick.
Yeah.
Like, he's poor. But yeah, it's a really good question, obviously, about Houlihan. I think it'll be a lot closer than what we think.
Yeah.
Just a quick question before we go. And this is a question for you. We're not going to do a poll out of it, but we're just sending loads of questions and stuff. When you're at Villa Park, is it curry and chips or pie?
Curry and chips, no question.
Yes.
Moving on.
Drink, is it a pint or fizzy?
It's always a fizzy, because I'm always driving. So, you know, I don't drink and drive. There's nobody
Thank
should.
You.
But no, I drink fizzy. The odd occasion I go up on the train, I will have a beer, but then I'll be in the loo all the time.
Yeah, as soon as I drink a pint, you wait 10 minutes and I'm getting rid of it, so it's like, yeah, I'm just peeing it out. So it's just like, nah, it's always about fizzy. Done. I don't like the fact that you take the top off, but it is what it is. Yeah. Or you could sneak a bottle to top in.
Oof.
You never know. I'm not going to say that though, in case people.
No one does that.
But it's all about curry and chips though, because a pie for me is, yeah, you go to football for a pie, but nah, I'd rather dig into a tray of chips with curry sauce on.
100%. No question.
We don't need to make a poll out of that. I just wanted to see what your... it was just a quick fire, bam, bam, few questions just to see what you do and get you ready to go back to VP soon, hopefully.
Yeah, all being well, I can't wait. Like I say, we'll have to link up when we're both free. But anybody that does choose curry and chips, just DM us, just say curry and chips, just to see if anybody does it, just for the interest and for the crack. Just literally DM curry and chips, Facebook or Twitter, just for the laugh.
Literally, just send us a picture of curry and chips. It's not a problem at all, guys. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our first ever Q&A. Thank you, everyone, for asking the questions. Sorry. I hope we've answered them thoroughly and truthfully as possible. Me and Brad, we tend not to say stuff that people want to hear. We'll rather just say what we feel, hence why we disagree on certain things and stuff, because we've got different opinions. It'll just be boring if we said the same thing.
Yeah.
But I hope we've said what we can. And thank you very much. I said, this is just a filler podcast because obviously international duty and stuff, but we are planning to another one called Villa on Tour. Nothing to do with the YouTube channel, Villa on Tour. I'm just pointing that out. It's just the name of our next podcast episode, because we're going to quickly go through all our players on international duty and catch up with how they did, hopefully have a few stats. It won't be a very long podcast, but it'll just be a really good episode to see how our guys got on abroad.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Seeing if anybody can catch any highlights of Zimbabwe or some of the unusual players. I don't know, Traore replaced for some country that
Caster something.
Yeah, I'll be streaming some of those games as much as I can at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Podcast. But yeah, thanks for today, guys, for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. We will see you soon. If you don't follow us already on, I say this all the time on Twitter and Facebook, just give us a follow. If you've got any suggestions for the future episodes of podcasts, please message our Facebook or Twitter group. We are open to any suggestions. We want to make this podcast a success. And we want to make it a regular thing for people to listen to. We do podcasts every single time we play a game, before and after. You need to take the good as much as you take the bad. You can't just do podcasts when we win games. You've got to do them when you lose them as well, because you've got to talk through the bits and bobs. So thank you very much for listening, though. And we will hear you on our next podcast that's coming up when the international duty is over. So thank you very much, and enjoy this episode, and up the Villa.
Thanks, guys. See you again.